You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
Dan Hill here.
And I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's start the show. Episode 15, entitled House of God, aired on November 11th, 1992. And it's funny, this show, it aired at 9 o'clock, and it went up against In the Heat of the Night, Home Improvement, and Mad About You, and the Virgin Seinfeld episode.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, up against some heavy hitters. And Doogie Howser, M.D.,
the heaviest hitter of all.
Heavy. NPH, man.
So we open and Allison and Billy are running around the block. And Billy is wanting to keep Allison's mind off of Keith. He's been reading 12-step articles of how to beat the blues. And they recommend that you get out and do some physical activity.
And Allison can't run. She doesn't know how to run.
Does that remind you of somebody?
Maybe you. But she could, she at least, like, I don't know, she had the jog down, but she was like, her arms were just flailing.
Like, when me and Dan first started dating, he literally had to teach me how to run.
Yeah, you thought it was always a full sprint.
I didn't know! I'm not an athletic person, guys. So Dan had to take me out and teach me. And I just thought that, like, you run, you start going. And he's like, what are you doing? And it got to the point where I think I was in tears within, yeah, like 20 minutes.
Yeah, just like Allison. Having to take breaks.
Took Billy's a lot, like, of breaks that
come day. On, Allison. The first step is to run it out. And then the next is to burn all your shit. Yeah, so he's trying to run Keith out of her.
Oh.
Because that's done, basically.
And I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. We forgot to mention a very important development that, yeah, happened in the credits.
Yeah, you witnessed a little edit to the credits.
Yeah, a little edit to the credits.
What'd you see?
Ever so slightly, there was a split second where I saw a raven dark-haired lady leaning over the pool table, shooting the cue ball, and it was Joe.
Joe Reynolds, played by Daphne Zuniga.
And we were then, what's that word?
Shocked? Happy? Excited?
Justified?
Elated?
All of those things. We got the confirmation that Miss Zuniga has in fact joined the cast,
because, yeah,
they do show them in alphabetical order.
And it was weird because she's just like immediately inserted into the credits.
She's
like
in,
she's
there, baby.
One of the gang.
She is one of the gang.
But no one knew her yet, you know?
Well, okay. So after the scene where Billy and Allison are running around the block, we see Miss Jo Reynolds walking down the street with a newspaper in hand. She looks up to see the cross streets of Melrose Avenue and Melrose Place, and we know where she's headed.
Yep. She's like, she's the woman in black, a loner. You can just tell she was brought in to be like this badass.
Yeah.
Which was really awesome. I'm glad that she's here. I remember Jo slightly. Well, not, I know her. I remember,
no, you love Jo.
I remember her more than slightly. I thought she was really hot when I was a kid. And I remember, like, she gets into some shit with Jake and,
yep,
and with everything. Her story arc is really cool.
So we then go over to Jane and Michael's apartment, and they're talking about a mixer for the interns that Jane has been volunteered to help set up with some of the other doctor's wives.
Yeah, and Michael, he has a very strange array of t-shirts, Because what the hell was that shirt of Africa about?
Well, that's what she asked
him. The full continent of Africa on your shirt?
That's what Jane was like, why are you wearing this? And he said, well, I'm going sailing with one of the doctors.
Yeah, it doesn't make any damn sense why you would have an Africa shirt on.
Well, I guess that's his, like, lounging around, playing around clothes.
I guess so.
So, basically, Michael talks Jane into going to this meeting about planning this intern's meeting, this intern's mixer,
right,
later that day. So, they make a plan that she's going to go to the hospital and start the planning process for the mixer.
Right. And that is when Michael's off to work. He's like, all right, see you later.
Well, off to going sailing before work.
Yeah, off to go sailing before work. Kisses Jane goodbye, and then boom, Joe rolls up, and she's like, hey, looking for a place to stay. Michael's like, yeah, I'm the super, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm looking for an available apartment. He's like, single, it's a studio, we got it available. She said, no, I'm looking for at least two rooms. Nope, sorry, don't got it.
And then boom, Rhonda rolls up. She's like, oh, hey, well, I need a new roommate. And she's like, I'm good.
So sorry. Joe's like, look, I'm not, like, no offense, I'm not looking to live with anybody. And then Rhonda immediately says, how about we switch? I move into the studio, you move into my two bedroom.
And then Michael's like, well, fine by me. Jane, show her the place.
And even Joe is like, what? Like, can I at least see the place before I commit to living here?
Yeah, you definitely want to see the place before you decide to move in.
So she does. She goes up the stairs. She walks around what used to be Rhonda and Sandy's apartment.
What is based still.
Okay.
They haven't decided yet.
And she is pleased with what she sees and says, okay, it's settled then. I'm moving in. But she definitely gives off like a cold, too cool for school vibe.
Yeah, a couple things happen here where she explains that she needs the second room for a dark room. She's a photographer. She is very pushy. She is from New York. Jane is like, well, let's hold on here. And she's like, nope, I'll take it. Well, you have to fill out an application. She's like, yeah, whatever. So it's established that Joe is a no-nonsense. I'm a loner. This is what's happening.
And when she walks in, she goes, cozy.
Yeah.
Which is always, if anybody says that your apartment or your house is cozy, that's code for, this is small as shit and really, like, yeah, kind of shabby.
And she's, like, shitting on L.A. She's like, oh, New York is all vertical and L.A. is all horizontal.
I can't find an elevator anywhere. So she's this dark, kind of, like, sarcastic, cynical New Yorker.
Right, right. And she's like, okay, I'll take it. Rhonda, how quickly can you be out of here? And Rhonda's like,
today?
Yeah. And just like, today? Great, because I'm coming, bitch. I'm coming in.
So we cut to Michael on the sailboat of this work colleague. I guess he's a doctor above him. So Michael's an intern at the hospital, and this guy is a full-fledged pediatrician at the hospital.
Right. Dr. Scott McBain. He's a guest star played by John Scott Clow. Clow? And he can be...
That could be cloth.
Claw? Clow? I don't know. But he's most known for his roles in Captain Ron and Phantoms.
Okay.
Ron was like Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah. But did you feel this way too? There's a quality about him that reminds me of Justin Timberlake dressed up as Dick in the Box guy.
Maybe.
Like, I swear that's all I saw. His haircut, his attire that he wore, and really when we meet him on the sailboat, you guys have to watch this episode just for that outfit alone.
Yeah, he is King Douche. White. Rolled up shorts up to his balls.
Short shorts with a pink polo.
Pink polo buttoned all the way up and then a cardigan on top of that.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Like, straight out of like Douche USA.
Yeah, he's Dick in the Box guy, like for real. That's right. Him. That is him.
And then they get they get what I call the double beeper and the rollout. They get double beeped and they're like, oop. Time for work.
Yeah, so it's established they had a nice little sale, and this guy's kind of taking Michael under his wing, and he says that Michael shows a lot of promise, and he's really excited about what he can do, and he says that Michael should get into plastic surgery because being a pediatrician, there's just so much stress that goes involved with being a pediatrician.
Right.
So that takes us over to the hospital, and Jane is there at the meeting for the interns mixer planning committee. And it turns out that Dr. Scott McBain's wife, Liz McBain, is going to be planning the party with her.
Right. Now, Liz McBain is played by Lisa Waltz. She's known for her roles in Pet Sematary 2, Odd Couple 2, the new 90210 spinoff, and then just bit parts in like Castle, Lie to Me, Bones, ER, My So-Called Life, and Fear the Walking Dead, Flight 462.
She is a very familiar face.
Yeah, she's been around the block.
So the ladies are in the break room, and then that is when Michael and Dr. Scott get back from their sailing excursion, and they see their wives in the break room, and it's revealed that Jane and Liz got together to make a little dinner date for them that evening.
Right, and they're like, doctors, we know that you're off duty for 12 hours.
You're going on this date, and you can't get out of it.
Right. And then we cut to the courtyard of Melrose Place where Joe and Jake meet for the first of many times.
Yes. So there is a big box right in front of Jake's apartment. And of course, because the box is in front of his apartment, he goes out to investigate and it's Joe's box. And mm-hmm. She is not too happy that Jake is potentially going to go through her stuff.
And the chemistry is real.
It is.
They're good together. Yeah. I love Joe and Jake.
Yeah, I like them too. So Jake is like, look, I'll carry it up for you. And she's like, no, please put it down. And he insists. He brings the box up the stairs into her apartment. And they kind of have a little flirty exchange. He kind of tells her about the building's plumbing, that if he's taking a shower, she should listen for it and not take her shower or use any of her water, because that'll turn any cold water in her apartment turns all of his water hot.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is off-putting to me. If you just moved into a place and you meet a neighbor and they're already like, oh, hey, when you use your water, make sure, like, check on me. I'd be like, all right, fuck off. Well, like, you know what? I'm going to move in and I'm going to do me. I don't know who you are or why you have my box, but thank you. But I don't care about your shower situation.
Well, Joe pretty much kind of did that. I mean, she did her old, like, cold routine of, like, I'm too cool for you. Okay, I'll, like, remember it.
Yeah.
And she ushers Jake out of her apartment and goes immediately to her phone, picks it up, and leaves a message for her father, letting him know that she's in LA, that she's safe, and that she's going to write to him later explaining the situation.
Mm-hmm. And, yo, this phone is already hooked up in Joe's name?
Maybe not. Maybe
she just moved in.
That may be on Rhonda's dime.
I think it is on Rhonda's dime, because you know the phone companies.
Oh, I know.
They can't get in there that quick. And like, this beater phone was a cordless little extender. Antenna extender.
Yeah. So it's later that night. We're out to dinner with Michael and Jane and Liz and Scott.
Yeah, and there is a slight blemish on Liz's face that she has to go in depth to tell a little story about.
Not a blemish, it's more like a black eye.
Yeah.
And she's telling them that she's quite the plumber around the house, and they were having problems with some pipes, and she rolled her sleeves up and got in there and was fixing it, and the pipe burst and hit her in the face and caused this black eye. And they're all having a laugh about it and kind of, you know, pitying her, but laughing at the situation. And it really seems like they're two fun couples out to dinner. Mm-hmm. They're hitting it off, and it looks like this could be the start of a nice friendship between the four of them.
But nothing's getting past your old boy Dan here, because I had a note that says, definitely beats her.
Well, that will come to pass a little bit later mm-hmm. on in the episode.
So now we're back to Allison and Billy's apartment, and I did take notice of the fridge.
Yeah.
That is definitely young Martin's handwork on the fridge. Oh, it's got to be.
Sarah talked about this two episodes ago.
Yeah.
That there is like a child's drawing on the fridge.
Yeah, it's big. It's right there. It's got to be Martin's. Who else could it be?
You should have told me.
Sorry.
I'll check it out next time. So Allison's looking in the fridge. She's lamenting that she's tired or she's hungry. And she says, I'm just going to go to bed. And Billy's like, Allison, it's 8:30. What are you doing? And he said, and Billy's like, Allison, I've been keeping track of your sleep. You're sleeping 15 hours a day. This is not healthy. Yeah.
When did Billy become Allison's like full-blown life coach? Like, Billy, is your life that well put together? You just had an issue with your freaking student loans that you just didn't pay. You quit your job with your father. You can't hold a job. You're like, who are you to be this into Allison's life to fix it?
And I will say, lately he has been very intrusive.
Yeah, he's just like, where are you? Where have you been?
Exactly.
What's going on?
Like, the last 3 to 4 episodes, he really does not have anything going on. I don't even know when he's driving the cab, because it seems as though he is only sitting at home waiting for Allison at all times.
He's like a watchdog now.
Well, she does say, Billy, this is getting really nosy and annoying. I don't want you keeping tabs on me like you have been. I'm fine. Let me work this out. And he's like, no, let's go down to the boulevard and get some cappuccino. And we kind of leave it there, like that he's annoying her and she's sick of it.
Yep. And we're whisked away to dinner with the Mancinis and the McBains. And Jane and Liz make their way to the ladies' room to powder their noses. And Jane finds a stain on Liz's sweater. And she's like, oh, let me take a look at that, you know? Let me see what's going on. And then she like pulls down her sweater. And boom, we reveal that Dr. McBain is putting the paws on his wife. There's some big bruises there on the arms.
Well, we don't know if that's the case for sure.
We know it.
But we do see several bruises up and down Liz's arms. They look like they're in the pattern of a handprint.
Yeah.
So it does look like, and that with...
It's the same pattern that they show in horror movies when like ghosts touch you.
But bigger and redder.
Yeah, like in The Ring. Remember The Ring?
Oh, God.
And yes. they would touch you and leave like a big old mark.
That movie scared the pants off of me.
Yeah, maybe she's getting and ringed.
I stole that line from this episode.
The pants off of you.
Just wait. It'll come.
It's coming. So we know that Liz is getting touched up by somebody.
So I guess it's later that night or maybe even the next day, and Michael and Jane are cleaning house, and we go in mid-conversation.
It's
next day. Yeah, so it's mid-conversation, and Jane is going to Michael with all of these concerns that Scott might be beating up Liz.
And of course, guys, what's Michael do? He blows it off. He's like, I don't know, Jane. Maybe not. Don't get into it. There's no reason for him to be beating his wife. You've been watching too much TV, haven't you?
Yeah, you get ridiculous accusations. You start your wild speculations. And now we're getting along with this couple. Why are you trying to ruin it?
Yeah, and did you see what Michael was drinking?
No.
He was drinking out of a little sippy juice box.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Like a Capri Sun?
No, like a sip.
Like a high C?
Yeah. It was like a little juicy box.
I can't hate on him for that. I love those high C coolers, man.
They're goddamn tasty.
The Ecto coolers.
No.
From back in the day.
That's just sugar.
Anyway, then we go. Billy is now helping to bring Joe's stuff up to her apartment.
Yep, Billy brings a plant up to Joe's place, and it's very awkward because That's the kind of guy Billy is.
And Billy says that he's a writer. And Joe's like, I didn't know that there were any writers here in L.A.
Right. Billy always tries to relate to people. And Joe's like, well, I'm a photographer. He's like, oh, that's kind of the same. I'm a writer. I'm like, what? It sure isn't, well, Billy. Well,
they're both creative fields, I think is what he was trying to say.
I guess.
And I really did like Billy's response, but he's like, you know what? You and your New York people, you always talk crap on how LA, like you hate LA, but then you all move here. Why?
Yeah.
And that is true.
Yeah, a lot of people, they move out here. For everyone who doesn't live in LA, a lot of people move out here, and when they first get here, they talk shit about it, and they try to say how great their old place is, but...
Especially New York.
You came here, guys.
But New York is really cool. I'm not, like, I think New York is awesome, but...
LA's better.
So, anyways, the phone rings, and Billy says, what a call? I didn't get a call for 2 weeks after I moved in.
Yeah, because, Billy, that's because nobody likes you. Nobody likes you, buddy. And, so, yeah, he's shocked, and then she doesn't pick it up, and he's like... You're not gonna pick it up? I don't get calls for months.
So we've established that Joe is shrouded in a little bit of mystery here.
Right, right. Now Jane is setting up for the mixer at the hospital, and Liz is playing this beautiful rendition of a famous piano piece, and it is the fakest, like, ad track of someone else playing the piano, and Liz is like just miming that she's playing, and she's like all looking away and stuff while
Stevie Wonder,
yeah, while it's going, and you're like, man, you would probably need to look at your hands while you're playing that.
So Jane is like, wow, Liz, that's just beautiful. And Liz says, well, you know, I teach music at the college, but I can't practice at home. I mean, Scott gets so mad at me when I play my piano. I have to go all the way to the college to a practice room. And that kind of opens up the discussion that Scott can get very angry.
Right. Jane sort of starts rooting around here and trying to get some answers without actually addressing the issue up front. But she doesn't get too far.
Yeah. So Liz is like... He gets so stressed out at work being a pediatrician. I try to be understanding. No matter what I do, it's never right. I look at you and Michael and remember what we had before all the pressure with the hospital. But you know what? I'm going to take you out to lunch now.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it just kind of changes gears right then.
Odd segue.
But yeah, we get the sense that there is trouble in paradise and there might be a little bit of something about Mr. Scott being very angry with her.
Yeah, and I just thought of something interesting. Did you notice that, like, there's that one episode where we predicted that Jane was gonna, like, develop this storyline of an eating disorder?
Yeah.
And just nothing. Nothing has come of it. There's just nothing. Because she's like, I'm gonna take you to lunch. That could have been a really easy place to insert Jane being like, oh, no, sorry, I'm not hungry.
I already had lunch.
Yeah, something like that. Like, just keep that going.
So, you're just pointing out that we were wrong?
Well, I'm pointing out that, like, that storyline was probably just scrapped.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that would have just been an easy insert.
So, we go to the laundry room of Melrose Place and find Allison going through clothes.
This scene gets the award for weirdest shit I ever saw.
So she finds a man's striped shirt and pulls it out and starts smelling it, and we can assume it's Keith's.
And
I mean,
even the music changes to like ding 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 ding, like to be like, oh, this is very sentimental, and then it stops because Joe shows up.
So Joe walks down and she kind of sees Allison just pouring over the shirt and smelling and caressing it against her face.
And she's like, hey, weirdo. What's the happy haps?
And Joe has an issue with getting the dryer to work. So Allison, between sniffs, is like, you have to kick it.
And so Joe gives it a good old kick. And she's like, no, on the side. As she sniffs some more of the shirt. So Joe goes to the side to kick it, and then Allison has to stop sniffing again. It's like, no, the other side. And then she tries again, and then she's like, oh, fine, I'll stop smelling my shirt. And then she walks over. They start kicking.
They both start kicking and, like, just getting out of all of their aggression out on this dryer. And they're kicking it and with all their might. And all of a sudden, they both just start laughing at the ridiculousness of why they're standing there kicking a dryer.
And my thoughts here are, if Mr. K or Michael comes down here and sees y'all kicking the crap out of these machines, you're in big trouble.
Heads will roll because Mr. K does not like to be toyed with.
Yeah, Mr. K's mad. Thanks for toying with him. The favorite Mancini line
I know. So Joe is like, they're laughing, and Joe says, well, I just broke up with my husband. And Allison says, I just broke up with somebody else's husband.
Right, because Joe's like, there's a funny line where she's like, whose shirt is that? And then she's like, oh, my ex's. And then she's like, well, first step is to stop doing his laundry.
Yeah. So they kind of have a little meet cute. They introduce themselves to one another, and you can tell that these girls are going to be fast friends.
Yep. Now, I didn't really take good notes here, but Michael's basically just telling Jane, don't say anything again.
So Michael and Jane are driving, and Jane is like, Michael, this isn't just a feeling anymore. I have hard, concrete evidence that Liz needs help. She is getting beat at home. And Michael's like, you think she's a battered wife? Yes, I do. What do you want to do? Go to the hospital? Go to the police? And Jane's like, yes, I do. And Michael's like, look, it's between him and her. There's nothing we can do. We're not going to get involved.
Right. Oh, okay, so they're on the way to the mixer.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so and you know what? There's a thin line between stuff that is your business and when you should speak up. So I sort of understand where Michael is coming from.
I did too, actually.
This is like a work guy, a superior whom he is trying to desperately impress. And they do, Jane, his wife, does have some hardcore evidence that something's going on. But you don't want to ruffle feathers.
And not an admission. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I've just heard that if you know someone who's being abused domestically, a lot of times if they're not ready to come forward, the worst thing you can do is kind of go behind their backs.
Right.
Because then they get the brunt of that
from
the abuser.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll shut you out and then, or you'll get them hurt even more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they get to the mixer and Liz is sitting alone in the, what?
But if you know someone is getting their ass kicked,
you should
say something.
If you have hardcore evidence, you know.
Right.
But say something to who? I think you need to talk to the person being abused.
Yeah. Try to talk to them away from whomever you suspect is beating.
I mean, I don't know how many of you are in an abusive relationship right now.
Email us. Let us know. We'll help you.
None of you are.
Right.
But you're better than that.
If you are, shoot us an email. We'll sick the dogs on them. We'll get Jake on them.
We will. He takes care of anything. So we get to the mixer. Liz is sitting alone in the corner, and you can tell that she's kind of despondent, and things aren't going really well.
Right. And then she sort of like goes away. She can't really be around Jane. Right?
Okay, so Jane sees her in the corner, goes up to her, and is like, well, everyone can't stop raving about the food, and no one seems to care about all the decorations we did. Just trying to, like, break the ice and kind of feel her out, and you can tell that something really bad is happening with Liz. And Liz gets up to say, oh, I'm going to go get more name tags, and Jane grabs her and is like, Liz, he's hit you, hasn't he? Just tell me. And Liz is like, leave me alone. Stop. I don't want to make him angry. Please just leave me alone. And she runs off almost in tears.
And at that point, you need to stop, Jane. You can't aggravate it more.
Dr. Scott comes up and he's like, oh, hey, Jane, have you seen Liz around? And she's like, no, I don't know where she is. And he starts getting a little handsy with her, just grabbing her and being like, we're okay, right? Everything's okay. And she's like, yeah, why wouldn't it be okay?
He's on to her.
Yeah, he can kind of sense that she has an inclination that Liz is getting beat up. And he keeps repeatedly grabbing her arm. And you can tell that Jane is not thrilled about this.
Right.
And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know. I've had 5 drinks. Like, that's an excuse.
Yeah, that's no excuse. Can't be touching people's wives without their acceptance.
Yeah, so he walks off and is like, look, if you see Liz, let her know I'm looking for her.
Now it is next day.
It's the next day, and Michael and Scott are in the doctor's lounge of the hospital, and Scott just comes right out and says, you know, Liz told me what Jane insinuated last night at the party, and Michael's like just downplays it like, oh yeah, I can explain, you know, Jane had some wild ideas, but it's none of our business, we don't want to poke around in this, we know that it's between you and Liz, and he's like, you know, I'd never hurt my wife, I love my wife.
And Michael's like, yeah, sure, I know, this is all good, I don't want to rock the boat here. So you're good with me. This is all okay.
But he keeps on saying, I would never strike her. I've never struck her. And it's like, okay, well, you've definitely hit your wife.
Yeah. So now Michael's sort of like, okay, something's off. Now we go to Joe and Allison. They are boozing in Joe's new place.
And listening to rock and roll.
Listening to some rock. A little more affirmation that Joe's hardcore. She's tough. She's good on her own. She's a bat out of hell.
And she has like an 11 by 14 inch black and white photo of herself, like front and center right there. And Allison's like, oh wow, who's that? And Joe's like, that was me when I was repressed and depressed.
Right. They sort of have a bonding moment. This scene is really to get some more backstory on Joe. But basically Allison serves as the person fueling the conversation to get Joe to sort of spill her guts and give us that backstory. So basically she was married when she was 20 and she was, you know, it was a bad relationship. She was stuck in it and
living in a penthouse on the Upper East Side of New York that her husband's parents bought him.
Right. There's just sort of trading war stories.
And Joe's like, look, we got to get out of here. Where's the nearest hotspot?
Gotta be Shooters, right?
Gotta be Shooters. So that's where they go. They head over to Shooters and the two of them begin to play pool with two guys.
Two bros.
Yeah.
They're very bro-y.
Yeah.
It's like LA bro.
Like definitely like members of Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So like they have that look.
They're like beach surf grunge mix. And they're kicking their ass in pool. They're living it up. They're like, hey, sorry. They're like betting on games. And they're like, that's another $20, ladies.
Yeah, so I guess these two guys keep winning. And they're like, look, next game, if we win again, the two of you girls have to go out with the two of us all night long.
And what is with this whole thing? Melrose Place is king of the bet date. Like Allison's betting Billy dates, and now we got this date bet, and Joe's like, yeah, let's do that. But if we win, we want the 20 I just gave you and 50.
So the guys are like, easy targets, and we'll probably get laid tonight. You're on, girls.
Right, and this is a terrible bet because even if you win, they're not gonna be happy. You gotta go on the date with them. It doesn't mean you're gonna sleep with them.
Well,
could be a very awkward date.
That was implied. But then Joe shows us all that she's a pool shark.
Yeah, she hustles the hell out of these guys. Doesn't even let them take a shot. She breaks, and then she just sinks them. And Allison is like, oh my God, I'm in love.
Yeah, and then Joe's like, pay up, $70. Right. And the guy's like...
Isn't Joe like, ready, Thelma?
Yeah, she says something like that.
Yeah.
And then she's like... And then the guy's like, you're not very ladylike. And she says, well, a gentleman always pays his debt.
Right.
And then this was your favorite part.
Oh, yeah. He's like, you guys are bitches.
Yeah. He takes up the money and instead of putting it in her hand, he throws it on the pool table and goes, bitches.
And she says, the bitch just beat your pants off.
And they turn to walk away. And then one of the guys comes running after them like he's going to beat their ass.
Yeah. And then after the Thelma reference, I was like, is she going to kill them? Because, spoiler alert, that's what happens to Thelma and Louise.
They get out of Shooters unscathed.
Right. Jane and Michael, they are in their apartment.
About
to go to a movie. Jane's getting her jacket on. And then, ring, 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 telephone. And
we hear a voice on the other end.
Mancini picks it up. He's like, hello?
Michael.
Nothing.
Michael, it's Liz. Please. I need to talk to Jane. Please. So we cut right to the Mancinis in their car. They pull up to a home and they see the figure of a woman huddled in front of the garage waiting to be picked up.
Right.
It's Liz.
Jane rolls out of the car in this like two size too big
cut off jean jacket.
Yeah. And long dress, which is strange. And they embrace on the sidewalk and I'm like, guys, get her out of there. Get to the car. Like, I feel like he's in there.
That, like, impending doom that he's going to come out and try to beat them all up.
Yeah. So, not only, like, they walk her over to the car, and then they make her, they have a two-door. They make this poor woman who's gotten her ass kicked, like, crawl over
into
the back seat. And to get into the two-door car, you know, you have to fold up the passenger, and then, like, you gotta maneuver through the seatbelt that's in your way. It's uncool, guys. Jane, you hop back there.
Right!
And then she rides shotgun. And then Michael looks back and he's like, oh, damn.
We get a good look at her face and there's blood coming from almost every orifice.
She looked worse than Matt.
Yeah, she...
when Matt
ain't got nothing on her.
Matt got beat up by three men on a sidewalk. And she looked worse than him. She's not only getting, like, hit, she's getting her ass kicked.
Yeah, so we go back to the Mancini's apartment, and they have Liz set up at the table, and Michael is performing some work on her face, trying to patch her up, and Liz says, this is usually Scott's job. He beats me up and patches me up, and she's like, this is so ridiculous. I'm not going back. This is the last time. He does this every time. He apologizes the next day. He says it's because he lost a patient or he's stressed at work and that's why he lashes out at me and I'm done.
But it doesn't make sense because wasn't he at the beginning like, bro, you gotta get into plastic surgery, man.
Yeah, well, because he's a pediatrician, I think that set it up because he said... Being a pediatrician, I guess he's like a pediatric surgeon or something if he's at the hospital. Just saying, like, it's really stressful.
Right.
He sets it up on the sailboat to say, no, you should do plastic surgery. It's easy. It's fun. You don't have to worry about, like, life and death situations.
Gotcha.
So,
And Michael, all right, like, Michael is tending to her face while they're having this conversation, and he is in, like, hard concentration of like working on her. But guys, at the end of the day, he cleaned the wounds and put on two butterfly band-aids.
Well,
that's all he did.
He's got to make do with what he's got at home. And Michael's like, look, I don't know what to say. I should have done more. I didn't want to believe that Scott could do something like this. And Liz is like, I don't either. I still love him.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how anyone deals with this stuff. I'm not a woman beater, so I don't know. But I guess, you know, you're married to somebody and, you know, those feelings don't go away even if they hit you.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? So Allison, we cut to Allison and Joe's storyline again. Allison has taken Joe to where she and Jake made out, and it's sort of the same deal.
It's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
So it's like this big lookout overlooking the city lights of LA, and they're perched up on this cliff, and they're looking out, and Joe's like, this is it. This is exactly why I moved to LA.
Yeah, and I'm like, are they going to make out?
In your dreams. So you can kind of see those exterior walls that Joe was trying to put up in the beginning of the episode begin to crumble. And she's like, you know, it's like I am liking the fear instead of fearing the fear. I was so afraid to move out to LA and leave my husband and leave the friends that I had and start this new life. I didn't think I could do it by myself, but now I feel like I can. I'm embracing the fear.
Right. Just because you moved out here, got an apartment in one day, and then beat two clowns in pool. Now you're like invigorated.
I know, and it's been one day, but she's
had a couple margaritas with Allison, who's getting over a boyfriend, and damn.
And Joe's like, I've alienated everybody in the building, haven't I? And it kind of just shows that she's like human, and maybe she did want to seem real tough to everybody coming in, but she does have a softer side, and it seems like Allison's going to coax that out of her and then really get her to connect with the other people at Melrose Place.
Right. So Joe, after this big revelation, she reaches into her purse and she pulls out her meds, explaining that these are the meds my husband had me on. And she's like, I don't think I need them anymore. And then looks at Allison and chucks them off the ledge. Now, let's take a second here to understand, like, if you're Allison, you have just met a woman who lies at bars, destroys people at pool, and beats the shit out of laundry machines. And now you just met this woman, you're on a ledge, and she's throwing her meds
out.
She's
like, I don't need these anymore. Bye!
I'd be like, you sure?
Was that a good idea?
Yeah. You sure you don't need those pills? Because you've had them this whole time. And now you don't? This is scary. I would be a little scared.
So we cut to Allison coming home from her wonderful night out with Joe, and she has a big smile plastered on her face, and she walks in on Billy reading magazines and smelling the little perfume ad inserts in the magazines.
Billy, your life makes me sad. And this is what you've resorted to.
And so you can kind of tell that Billy's a little jealous of Joe because Allison was spent her entire night with her. And she's like, don't worry, Billy. You're still my best friend. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
He's like, well, I took... And she's like, oh my God, you took these quizzes in these magazines? He's like, yeah, scored top 5%. Like, Billy... What is the matter with you,
bro? How do you
bro?
Find the perfect guy? I'm him.
That's me. I'm perfect. And then Allison's like, almost.
That's right.
Womp womp.
So we're back at the hospital. Michael's in the break room. And then Scott walks in.
Yeah. Scott walks in. He's basically like, are you going to tell on me? And Michael's like, yup. I'm going to the boss. I'm telling him what you did. You're a bad person. You need help. You shouldn't be working with people who need help because you inflict pain. And he's like, God damn it, I'm going to lose my job.
And then Scott attacks Michael.
Yeah, and then Michael's like, go ahead, hit me. At least I'm a man or something like that, right?
Better me than Liz.
Yeah, better me than Liz. He'll take it. But he doesn't. He backs off and he punches the locker.
And he's like, Michael, I don't want to lose her. I love her. You know how it is, Michael. You know, you lose a patient and then you go and you lose yourself. And then he's like, look, you know what I think you should do, Scott? You need to go to Levin, which is their superior, and you need to tell him yourself.
Yep.
So.
Own up.
He's just like, okay. But yeah. Michael, will you come with me?
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
In that split second, he's like, okay, I'm going to go to my boss and tell him that I beat my wife. Come with me. Let's go.
Not only that, but he could just be like, I'm not fit. Which is basically what they wanted him to say. Like, he's not fit to work on people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's implied that that goes down.
Right. Now, we go to sexy-ass Jake.
The eye candy of the episode.
Taking a shower. And, of course, again, shower woes.
It gets hot. And then he takes that shower curtain and rips it back.
He's like, God damn it.
And then we see a really nice shot of Jake and bare chested. He is very built, got a great body, but he is like, his ribs are he's thin.
He's paper thin and just, he's very lean.
He's very muscly though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like the camera lingers on his chest just to be like, hey, there's some eye candy check for you out guys Jake. Out there. And then he puts a towel around his waist and he stomps up to Joe's apartment, bangs on the door, and Joe comes with her little blue shiny satin robe on.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tell that he's not pleased, and Joe's like, oh yeah, the hot and cold thing, right?
Right. She's like, when I'm hot, you're cold. And I think that's foreshadowing.
Yeah. And so they kind of have a little flirty exchange, and Jake goes down the stairs and Billy's waiting for him. And he's like, so what do you think, Jake? And Jake says,
definite possibilities.
Yeah. Just saying like, I'm definitely going to hook up with Joe.
Right. And that's the end of the episode, man. Joe owns it. This is Joe's welcome party, basically. And I like her. I really, really like her. I think she's the anti-Sandy, basically.
I do, too. I was going to say she's quite a departure from the little cheery, happy-go-lucky characters that we've been seeing where everybody's like, oh, we're so happy and we want to make a nice little life in L.A. She's got some baggage. She's got some darkness that she's bringing with her. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really going to mix things up at Melrose Place.
Yeah, I'm pumped for Joe. So, let's recap.
The Mancini stop a woman beater.
Allison is getting over Keith.
And Joe moves into Melrose Place.
Yep. Yep. 90s moments.
Well, the biggest one that stood out to me was Billy smelling that perfume ad in the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Does still happen?
I don't know. I don't get a ton of magazines these days, but I remember being in middle school and like not having perfume and just going to those ads and being like, yep, gonna wear a Clinique Happy today from an ad.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Rubbing paper in, on your
Tommy neck. Girl, here we go.
My God. You got any more?
That's my one that stood out to me.
I got a couple. I made sure to have a few because I remember last time I stole yours. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Joe reading the paper in the middle of the street at the beginning of the episode.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, looking for apartment hunting with an actual newspaper.
Right. There's a shot right before Joe meets Jake. There's a rollerblader with full pads.
Ooh.
That just rollerblades across the shot. And that, I don't see that ever anymore. Another 90s moment. Joe on her cordless phone with an antenna that extends.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very 90s. I'm more the tech person, I think. I'm always looking for, like,
VCRs.
Right. Allison and Billy's, like, TV that they watch in the living room is a 13-inch TV VCR combo.
Nice.
Like just one thing.
Now you're making fun of this, Dan, but you did just buy a VCR off of eBay.
Of course, because I'm watching Melrose Place all the time. I need VCRs.
He really did, guys.
Yeah. They're going to be collector's items. They don't make VCRs anymore.
Okay. You just keep telling yourself that. Okay, so what's your lesson that you take away from this episode?
Lesson from this episode is address what's going on early and fix it. Joe, you know, she addressed what was going on, left New York, fixed. Jane and Michael, they should have addressed what was going on earlier with that beating and fixed that. And then Allison, getting over Keith, address the issue, fix it. Go on your run and do whatever Billy tells you to do.
I don't know if that's fixing it. But I similarly had It's Never Too Late to Start Over. So Liz, you know, being married to Scott for several years, finally thinking, you know, it's time for me to move on. I don't want to do this anymore. And then Joe coming out after being married and pretty much probably having anything she wanted in life financially, but knowing that she's not happy with herself and she needs to pursue her own dreams. And it's never too late to do that and start over.
Never too late. What are you renaming this bad boy?
I'm going to rename this. This was originally titled House of God.
What?
I don't know why. I'm trying to figure it out. But if I could rename it, I would name it Do No Harm. Because that's part of the Hippocratic Oath that all doctors have to take, where they cannot do any harm to people. But we see that Scott does no harm to his patients, but he then does that in his domestic partnership with his wife.
Deep. You went deep.
Thank you.
Mine is Take Charge. Because of my lesson.
Yeah.
Just take charge of
it
your
kinda
shit.
It kind of reminds me of that Jennifer Lopez movie.
Yeah.
What was that called when she had really short hair and she's like...
Enough.
Enough!
Right.
I'm going to beat everybody's asses.
Right. So mine is either it's a take charge or just for fun, the bitch just beat your pants off.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So what are your predictions for upcoming episodes?
So I think next episode, we had no Matt. So I think next episode we're going heavy on Matt. And I think we're going heavy on crazy Keith. I think Keith shows up in the next one.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that Joe really needed those pills. I think that she made a big mistake chucking them over the side of the cliff. And the crazy is going to start coming out in the upcoming episodes because she's off for meds.
Hey, Al. We got to go back up on that hill.
We got to buy those meds.
Need those pills.
I think Scott is going to hunt down Liz and murder her.
You think everyone's going to get murdered?
And then the Mancinis are going to find out about it. They're never going to be able to forgive themselves. That's going to lead to the deterioration of their own marriage.
Jesus.
So I think that that's going to be the beginning of the end for them. I think Joe and Jake are definitely going to get together, especially after that little foreshadowing. And then I think now this opens the door for Billy and Allison. They keep having these little flirty little exchanges where it seems like, oh, they're like an old married couple. Or like, I just feel like that's going to happen soon. And then I get a sense Rhonda's moved into that studio apartment. We never see this on screen. We don't even know where in Melrose Place, like where in the floor plan of where we see the apartments. This studio apartment is not within the world of Melrose Place. So I think that Rhonda might be getting the boot real soon.
Pack your bags, Rhonda. Exit stage left.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I think that we're really getting set up for some fun new episodes.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're almost halfway into season one. And every episode now has, like, a nice, heavy plot.
Yeah.
It's good. I like where we're headed.
So, reviews.
Reviews.
We've asked you to review us, guys. You are kind enough to do that. And we said, if you're going to review us or write us an email, we will read the reviews and the emails here on the podcast.
Yep. This one comes from Harold Ray, very good recap show. 5 stars. Melrose Place debuted 25 years ago, and Dan and Jenny's recaps are terrific. They set the context of the 90s and describe the episodes well. Kudos to them for setting a goal to cover the 200 plus episodes of Melrose Place.
Yikes!
I hope we get there, man.
Me too. But thank you so much for the kind review. We really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to do that. It means so much.
I think we've got 205 or 4 left. So,
well, it's an uphill battle, guys, but we're doing it for you.
We're going to keep going. Stick with us. Our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, want us to cover anything, or think we left something out, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the same @MelrosePod. Follow those channels. Look, we post little funny videos, little clips of the major scenes that happen on Instagram, and we drop our links all over Facebook and Twitter. So check us out there, and we will see you next week.
See you then.